Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, as our teacher, just take the written word, Lord, and make it alive, practical. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading about, when he was reading that about the kingdom of God, I was thinking of this verse earlier today, something that Jesus said. He was talking about John the Baptist, and one of the things he said about the kingdom says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And violent men take it by force, right? Or is forcibly entered. So sometimes about the kingdom of God for us personally to experience is that we have to take it by force, right? Mm-hmm. We have to grab hold of it, and there's a fight about that. Paul talks about that. He's writing to Timothy. He's telling him these. He says, flee these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. And fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. So part of taking hold of life, right? This is talking about a quality of life. It's not talking about going to heaven one day, which is part of that. But it's talking about fighting for the eternal life, which is yours, to possess it. And again, in Second Timothy 4:6, he's talking about, I have fought, you know, he's fought this good fight. I was writing down some quotes I had in my Bible earlier today. I had to get some really thick glasses out to see him, and I don't know when I wrote them or how long ago. Good grief. But he said, one guy said this, and I don't know, everything is not mine or original. Nothing is, right? There's nothing new in the sun. Somebody got it from somewhere else. And anyway, he says, real experience of victory and triumph is an attacking faith that goes after the sin which so easily entangles us. Mm. What he's talking about here, because this came out of the book of Joshua. We did a study of Joshua in our Tuesday night Bible study. It took us about 3 years to finally get through it. Joshua is a picture of the abundant living in the Christian life. The New Testament equivalent to Joshua would be probably the book of Ephesians. And the book of Joshua was them, you know, crossing over the Jordan, which just represents more of the baptism of the Spirit than it does getting saved. That's more like the Israel crossed the Red Sea, like coming out of Egypt. That's more like a person getting saved. But crossing over the Jordan into Canaan is about abundant living. And you know what they had to do when they crossed over there? They went to war, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
They battled. But God had already told them beforehand that he had given the enemies into their hand. Now, when they would cross, there was going to be battles. The enemy was already defeated, but they were going to have to fight to possess their possession. And so there's got to be a fight in us to possess that, because it's not going to just come to you, right?
Right.
By osmosis. It's not going to come to you by just listening and getting information. If you want it in your experience, you are going to have to fight to get it. There is going to be a battle, because there is a real enemy that is going to resist you every step of the way until you die. A defeated enemy, though. That's the reason it says that he uses wiles and schemes. Paul said, we're not ignorant to the wiles or the schemes of the devil. And that word just means trickery, right? And there's a place where I had written this down, too, that it's not the black devil we need to fear, but the white one, right? The enemy comes in schemes and trickery and always trying to steal from us and deceive us and to trick us. And one of the things that he does this is where to cause us to compromise. You know, and I wrote this down. I really like this. The enemy is out to steal our affection, to lower our standard of Christian life, to cause compromise. He persuades that you must take things easy. You must not go too far, and you must not overdo it, right? Now, those are things we would think, oh, there's my thoughts. But that's what he does. He's after your affection. He's out to slow you down. He's out to keep you from, like Paul said, grabbing hold of the eternal life, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Everything that he's done for you and having set you free is true, but that's not in every area of our life, our experience. And so if you want that in your experience, it's going to cause a fight. You know, you're going to have to battle. You're going to have to take it by force, right? From things we fight in our city. And just this, I remember one person telling us one time years ago, the lady that taught us, Betty Brennan, about just opened our eyes up to the reality of demonic warfare. She was in the occult for years, really high up in it, and knew how demonic spirits, how they operated, right? So she just really taught us a lot about that and about deliverance and all that kind of stuff and just stuff you wouldn't hear all the time and just kind of the blood and guts of that battle, but it's really true. And so through the years, we've just so appreciated that. And so I was asking her one day about in our city, I said, Betty, what's the stronghold in the city? Well, I thought she was going to say, oh, man, this is racism or something like that. And she said, here's the biggest thing in the city and what keeps people in bondage. It's a type of religious spirit. She wouldn't use the word religious spirit. She says it's a spirit of deception that makes people fear being persecuted, going for it with all their heart. Or how did she put it? I'm trying to remember the exact word she put. It's like fearing losing a social status. Yeah. Because if you go for it with all your heart, that's what you're going to face. Am I willing to lose my social status or people thinking that I'm goofy or crazy? Right? That's the biggest stronghold in our city, demonic stronghold over that. Like, I really want to go for it, but I'm so scared of what my friends might say. Or I'm so scared they're going to label me as this. Or, you know, any of you come here, you know you've heard stuff about this church, right? If you hadn't, then you're not from here. And we've been getting that for years, you know. We went from really bad at first, and we were in the little house church. Literally go places and people and everybody get quiet when you walk in, you know, and people pointing at you, you know. And we were known as the cult people, right? Well, cult used to be actually a really good word, you know. When it first started off, that was means you were a genuine believer. But then it kind of changed. But we were just a group of people who wanted all that God had for us, and we were willing to pay whatever price it took to get there, right? That's the fight of faith. If you're willing to pay any price to get there, you'll get there, right? And I say this, I use this all my, I quit using it. I was saying it so much in Bible study. And it said, because there's a quote I read one time, it says, if you want it, you'll get it. But if you don't want it, you won't experience it. If you want it, you'll get it, right? You'll go after it and you'll take it by force. I'm just going to read some of these and then we'll close here in a few minutes because I'm going to take this out of, in Joshua chapter 10, I'm just going to put it in a nutshell here. There were these five different kings that were going to come after Joshua and war against him. And there was some really cool stuff that happened as they were coming against him. You know, this is a part where the Lord kind of threw some big stones from heaven. That was cool. That was a victory. But when they got, after that happened, the Lord told Joshua and them, we'll turn there real quick. I think I've got it marked. He said this. He said, pursue your enemies and attack them in the rear. They're running from him. Do not allow them to enter cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hands. So they started scattering. He said, pursue them and utterly destroy them. Deuteronomy chapter 7 said that when you go into this nation, there are going to be seven nations greater than you. When you cross the Jordan, go into Canaan, there's going to be seven nations greater than you. Utterly destroy them. Do not make a covenant or pact with them. Totally wipe them out. And that's in Deuteronomy 7:2. Make no covenant and show them no favor. Right? So that's a picture of us. Then that's talking about our own things that we struggle with, right? The enemy against us. Things that we, you know, the sin which so easily entangles us. To make no covenant, show it no mercy, utterly destroy it. Go after it until it's completely destroyed in your life. And so part of this story was there was five armies that came against him, five kings of five armies. These five kings ran into a cave. And so the Lord told Joshua to put a stone over that cave and then pursue the other guys until you utterly destroy them, right? And then come back and deal with these five kings that are in the cave. And the five kings that are in the cave, anytime we want victory, right, you got to kill the king. Because if you don't kill the king, he'll just go back and raise another army. Meaning that you got to get to the root of what's going on with you or whatever area that is or struggle. Or got to get the king. You got to kill him. And so when Joshua came back, they utterly destroyed the other guys. He came back, he rolled the stone, they brought out the five kings, and Joshua put his foot on the neck and killed them. And then they put them in five trees. There's so much in there about grace and victory and stuff like that. But the thing is the victory is not complete until the king is killed, right? Until that, the reason. So, in your life, my life, if I want the kingdom of God and everything that it has, personally, everything that Jesus won for me, okay, then there's going to be a battle. And if I'm serious about it, then the Lord will always expose the enemy, and he will always expose the king. He's not going to keep me searching for something and not show me what it is. I've seen that in my life, other people's life. And here's just a couple of things. Let me read this before we get. Every gain I've made in the Christian life will be resisted down to the end. There will be no personal experience of the power of Jesus Christ in victory until I declare war on sin. I dare not leave sin lurking within the hidden recesses of my heart unjudged. Sin must be brought out, confessed, forsaken, judged, and condemned by you. Every time a child of God steps into an experience of blessing, he's on the verge of another assault of the enemy. Our blessing and our battle go side by side. Victory is to attack all fronts of our life, declaring war in our souls against everything that is stealing from us. It has not been judged, condemned, or confessed before God. Right? All these things are saying just the same thing about if you want complete victory in your life. And again, always remember, really cool thing that we've heard for years around here, you start from a place of victory, right? In Christ, you start from a place of victory. You're not trying to get to that place. You start from that place. But you've got to apply that victory in every single area of your life. And if you're serious about walking with God and the kingdom of God and you want everything that he has for you, then understand that there will be a battle, right? And you're going to have to fight. You have to do something about it. But the end result is walking in and experiencing the land like they did, flowing with milk and honey, the abundant Christian life that God has for you. Right? And that's going to happen. I mean, in my life, you know, there's some things that the Lord's been kind of bringing up and exposing. And I'm just like, I'm tired of making a pact with them. You know, I'm going after it until I'm, or, you know, my making a pact with is just continually struggling with that, right? I'm tired of that, man. I want victory over this. I'm tired of fear or whatever it is, you know, pride or worry, whatever. It could be a thousand different things, right? Get that in your heart if you want it. You know, God has put that in you. He's put the passion in you. Enemy is after your affection, your passion. Because if he takes away your passion, he takes away your fight.
Man.
You got passion in you, you know? And you know how you stay just real simple? How you keep fire going? You stay by the fire, right? We know the enemy. I know the enemy is after my affection. So when I don't feel like praying or hanging out with the Lord, you know what? I do it. Because I know I got to get in his presence. He's always speaking. It's always good. He always speaks something. And I know that I'm there, right there with the presence and the passion, the fire of God, and it's going to get on me, right? But we don't think that that's battle or that's warfare. See, that's the scheme. That's the angel of light coming. Oh, man, you're cool. But there's grace to you. Don't worry about that. Well, there is. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But I've got to do what it takes. You know, I've got to put things down. The distractions in my life is a big one, you know. The cell phone is a major distraction sometimes with, I mean, I know they're good. I look up stuff. I use mine all the time up here. You'll see me. I'm not texting people. I'm actually looking up stuff the Lord's telling me where the verse is or whatever. That's really good. But it also can be like today when I was just hanging out with the Lord. I was looking at some stuff. Then like 20 or 30 minutes had passed by. And I was just looking at all these feeds that were, you know, nothing wrong with that, but that was 20 or 30 minutes that I could have been just hanging out with him too. So not to make you feel guilty. That's not to raise guilt in your heart to make you feel condemned or like, oh my gosh, I do the same thing. I'm just giving you a little bit of an example of what it means to how easily that is, your distractions, right? So go after it, right? God has put the fight in you. It's there. You're in Christ. You have his same heart. Okay? Go after what he's won for you, right? Go in the land and drive out those seven nations that are there and make no pact with them. Have no mercy on them, right? Until they're out of the land. In the end of Joshua, it says that God had given them rest on every side. They fought and they drove them out, drove their enemies out. Right? So, all right, we'll stop there. Let me pray for you. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for, Lord, just the victory that you won for us on the cross, Lord, that you told us that you put to death the power of sin, or that thing to miss the mark, and you've won victory over it. It's not Lord over us anymore, God. You, as a matter of fact, you tell us that we're now slaves of righteousness because of Christ. Lord, I pray that in any area of our life where, Lord, we're compromising, or where we're just letting something just, and it's just stealing from us, Lord, stealing life, stealing our peace, stealing our joy. Father, like David, I pray that we would run to the battle. Anything that's even intimidating us, we'd run to the battle. Lord, you're saying, speaking such a word about victory in our lives right now. So many different areas, Lord, of us declaring, speaking, proclaiming what you're saying. But Lord, I pray that it would even go deeper in our personal lives. Lord, we love you. Thank you. Lord, and today, with every person in here, that flame that they have in them, that you put in them to know you, Lord, fan it. It's supposed to consume us, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.